Guys, how are we doing? Wake, we're back. Guys, we had a bye week last week. We had Easter last week. We were off, but now we're back, and it's better than ever, guys. My name is Austin Mankin. If I haven't met you guys, I'm new to the team, and I'm excited for the opportunity to share with you guys this morning. And so I want to start my time with a little bit of a question, okay? I want you to think to yourself, how many of you guys have ever bought something that you saw that your friend had and you wanted it? How many of you guys? If you bought something, you saw your friend had a pair of shoes, a new white pair of Nikes, or they had a new game, or a new book, or they watched a movie and they told you about it, and you're like, man, I got to have what they have. How many of you guys? Raise your hand. Come on. I mean, most of us, right? We see something that somebody else has, and we're jealous of it, right? And then we want to buy it. Like, we usually base what we purchased on the experience or the review of somebody else. Like, reviews are so important. You have movie reviews, you have restaurant reviews, you have product reviews. We usually base decisions based on the experience of somebody else, whether we want to buy a product or not. And so I was online recently and read some comments about reviews that people have made on certain products. And I thought I'd share them with you because they're pretty hilarious. This is on Amazon, so let's pull the first one up. Okay, so guys, this is a UFO detector. Okay, you can buy this on Amazon, no joke. On Amazon, here's what the person had to say about this. Got one star. They said, I don't know if this is a scam or if mine was broken, but it doesn't work, and I'm still getting abducted by UFOs on a regular basis. So who knows? That person gave it a one star. I don't even know why they gave it any stars, but apparently you can buy that thing on Amazon. That's a bad review. All right, let's go to the next one. This is a bed. This is an inflatable bed. This person said, I ordered this because I thought it was a giant ice cream sandwich. It's not. It's a bed. Not the $150 ice cream sandwich I wanted. So apparently, it looks literally like an ice cream sandwich, so I understand why they could get deceived, but they paid $150 for that thing. One star. So, bad review, right? Let's go to the next one. This is a horse head. Guys, five-star review for this thing. It's a horse head you can buy on Amazon. They said, the biggest question I get asked is, why do you have that? I simply reply, why don't you have that one? And I gallop away and eat some grass. So imagine you guys should go home totally and buy this thing. Your parents would freak out. All right, last one. This one is a car sunshield, 4 stars. This person said, I love this product. It keeps my car nice and cool. But I will say that the only defect I've found so far is that it's very hard to drive with this on. I've had over 5 wrecks since I purchased this. So I'm surprised why they gave it 4 stars, 5 wrecks. And they gave it 4 stars. I mean, that's a bad review, right? 5 wrecks equals 1 star. There you go, or 4 wrecks, whatever 5 wrecks they had. But those are examples of reviews that people make. And so they're pretty hilarious. They're bad reviews, sometimes good reviews, but we usually base our decision to buy things based on the review or the feedback of somebody else. And so the reason I share those stories with you or those feedbacks with you guys is because our Christian story is similar. Our Christian story is a review, our testimony is a review of our life as a Jesus follower, that we're giving a review, we're sharing our experience of what it's like to follow Jesus whenever we give our testimony. And so therefore, it's so important to have a good review because people are basing their decisions on whether or not to buy into a relationship with Jesus based upon the review that we give. And so we're going to share this morning for a little bit of time we have our testimony. We're going to learn about what is a testimony. Well, how do we share a testimony? Why do we even need to share a testimony? Because you've probably heard those words or that word testimony before. So I'm going to define it really quick for us before we jump in, that a testimony is a story of God's work in your life. If you're taking notes, a testimony, it's simple. It's a story of God's work in your life. You're making a review of God's work in your life. And so before we begin, here's what I want you to hear about a testimony. That as you're sitting in that chair, like your testimony, your story is one of a kind. It's one of a kind. It's absolutely unique. It's unlike any other. Like literally, think about this. It's crazy. There is never going to be a person in the history of the world that will have a story like yours. It's one of a kind. It's unlike anyone else. That you've had a story and experiences, that you've had relationships and friendships and encounters with God, hopefully, that are unique to you. And because your story is unique, it's important. It's important. That's what I want to say. Because every story is unique. every story is important, that your testimony is so valuable because it is a review of your relationship with God. So we're going to talk about 2 points in regards to our testimony. 2 points that I'm going to walk through and how we can explain our testimony and understand what it is, because it's God's work in our life, and therefore it's meant to be shared with others. And so number one, if you're taking notes, that you have a unique story to embrace. You have a unique story to embrace. That if you guys read scripture, man, through the New Testament, throughout the New Testament, there are stories of people who have encountered Jesus. There's liars, thieves, murderers who all experienced a relationship with Jesus and their life was forever changed. And it's crazy and it's radical and it's dramatic. It's amazing to go read your Bible. But there's one story in particular I want to focus in on. It's in John chapter 9. So John is in your New Testament. It's one of the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to John 9. That's where we're going to be with. That's where we're going to be here today. We're going to be in John chapter 9, verse 6, and I'll pick up in verse 6. But before we do that, before I read it, I'll give a little context for where we're at. So Jesus is approaching this man who was born blind. When I say blind, this man has never seen the outside. He's never seen light. He's never seen the sun, the moon, the stars, grass, trees. He's only seen darkness. And so he's broken. He's disabled. And Jesus encounters this man and forever changes his life. And this man has a story to share. So we'll pick up in verse 6. Here's what he says. This is Jesus with the man. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Guys, did you just read what I just read? Do you realize what just happened? Jesus encounters this man, hawks the loogie on the ground, makes mud out of his hands, a mud pie, wipes it on this man's eyes, and this man can see. Like that, I don't know how they're getting away with that. Like in COVID, there's no way. That's super unsanitary. But Jesus goes up to this man and it says, hey, go wash yourself off in this pool of, you know, Germex and Purell or whatever it is. And he says, go wash yourself off and you're clean. And I love what I want to focus on in this story is not necessarily the miracle, but I want to focus on this man's response, because this man immediately goes and starts sharing his testimony, his story with other people. Here's what he says in John chapter 9, verse 25. We'll work our way down. He says, I know this. I don't know if he was a sinner. I know this one thing. I was blind and now I see. Here's his testimony. I was blind. Here's what I know. That before I knew Christ, I was blind, but now I see. And I love the simplicity of this verse because I think we can all identify with this. It's simple. It's not radical, but he simply shares, here's how Jesus made a difference in my life. And that is what a testimony is. It's simply saying, here's how Jesus has made a difference in my life. He says, I was blind, that I couldn't see Jesus. He came, he engaged with me, and he changed my life. And now I have a story to tell. And the reason I chose this particular passage in regards to sharing our story is because I believe sometimes the temptation can be that we believe that we don't have a story worth sharing. That we believe that, hey, most of you guys maybe have grown up in a Christian home. Maybe you've grown up in K1 Race at Watermark or Crossroads, or you grew up in a Christian camp, or you grew up around the faith, or you had parents who prioritized your faith. Maybe you had just an experience where you'd say, man, there's really not a time in my life where I didn't know who God was. Most of you would probably say that. And therefore, you can start to believe that your story is just not that interesting. You're like, I just don't have anything worthwhile to share. Therefore, I don't share it. I believe that I don't have a compelling story that's worth sharing. And here's what we can learn from this man, that our story just has to be simple. It's simple, but it's powerful. That just because your story is simple doesn't mean that it's not powerful. If you are a follower of Christ, here's what I want you guys to know. If you are a follower of Christ, there is no such thing as a boring story. There's no such thing as a boring story. That you were blind and now you see. You see the grace of God in your life and how that affects you from a day-to-day basis. And so As we're moving along, I think about this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, a lot when I think about myself, because I was raised in a Christian home. I had great parents. I would say there's really not a time in my life where I didn't know who God was. But I look at this one verse, and it reminds me that I always have something to share. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. I love that right there. If anyone is in Christ. So what's that saying? Is that if you have believed that God saw our earth, that we were helpless and broken, and that we needed a solution to our hurt and our brokenness, and he sent his son to live a perfect life, to die a death that we deserved, was raised on the third day, giving us power over our sin and brokenness. If we believe in that story, we are in Christ, that we're adopted into his family. It says, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. I notice he says new. We are a new creation, meaning we're not different. We don't just have modified behavior when we believe in Christ. We're absolutely new, meaning we've moved from enemies of God to friends of God. We move from seeing darkness to now light. And what does that mean? What does new mean? That means that Jesus changes your nature, your identity. He changes your thoughts and your habits and your desires. Jesus changes everything about you when you're in Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing. And we have a story to share. And so as you guys have a moment in your small groups this week, you're going to have an opportunity to learn how to share your story, to learn how to rehearse how to share it, because you have to practice it, because you have to look back and have an opportunity to think about what God has done. And so I'm going to do a little activity with you guys as you go into your small groups this week. And I want you to think about right now, just stop for a moment and reflect. Hey, has there been a moment in my life where God has gotten my attention? Just think about that. Like, maybe close your eyes. Just think about it for a second. Is there a moment in my story where God has embraced me with his truth and that he has interacted with me in a way that has changed how I viewed him? And that could be a moment where you had a conversation with your parents, maybe a conversation with a counselor or a small group leader. Maybe it was a moment at D-Town where, you know, you felt like the message was just speaking to you. And you're like, man, for a moment, I realized that I was blind to God's goodness in my life. And now I finally see his grace, and I want to walk with him. Do you have that moment? Reflect on that. I want you to think about that. And it doesn't have to be radical. It doesn't have to be significant. It can be a small change where you realized that you needed Jesus. I'm going to go back to that story real quick. And this is what the guy says in John chapter 9. He says, verse 8, if you're following along, this is what he said about his life. So his neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar. So all these people knew about this man, and they knew him as a blind beggar. They all said, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the one. So what's happening right here is that people are confused because this man had life change. They're like, this can't be the same man that I once knew. This man's life was different. And they're confused. They have no idea who this man is anymore because he had change. Because Jesus made a difference in his life. And so that's a question to ask yourself and reflect on as you think about it. Is there a time in my life where there's been change in my life? It doesn't have to be this radical, just dark to light moment, but it can be a small, simple change where Jesus has made a difference in your life. Think about that. Think about that, because we all have a matter of change where we went from old to new. We went from enemies of God to friends of God. And so as my next point, as we close with my next point, I want you guys to understand that you do have a story worth embracing. That's unique. The secondly is that you have a story, that you have a unique story to share. You have a unique story to share. So we're going to play a little bit of a game. All right, I'm going to wake you up. Here we go. We're in the middle of the message. Here we go. We're going to play a little game. It's called Name That Lyric. All right, Name That Lyric. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw a lyric on the screen. And as soon as you know this lyric, like, you got to shout it out. Like, everyone just shout it out, okay? So I'm going to start reading it. As soon as you know, shout it out, and we're going to move on. It's going to get crazy, all right? All right, so I'm going to start reading it, and then just shout it out as soon as you know. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. Who said it? Frozen. Elsa, Frozen, right? What is it? What song is it? Easy. That was easy. Come on, that was easy, guys. All right, we're only going to get harder. Here we go. And the Rockets' red glare. Both. National anthem, Star Spangled Banner. There we go. We sing that at every game. That was easy. I didn't even get there. All right, here we go. Last one. We're soaring, flying. There's not a star in heaven that we can't reach. Breaking free. Who sang it? Who sang it? Troy and Gabriella. Come on. Come on. Music history, people. Breaking free, Troy and Gabriella, High School Musical. Just a hit single, Breaking Free. We sing it all the time. That was, hey, bring it back for a second. Bring it back for a second. That was super easy, right? I gave you some easy songs that you all knew, and you shouted them out. And the reason that you guys knew them so easily is because somebody had shared those songs with you, right? Like, it would have been super weird. Like, imagine just for a moment that Troy or Zac Efron, right, went into the studio and sang this song. And it was like, man, this is going to be a hit single. People are going to love this. It's going to be amazing. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to save it on my laptop and never share it with the world. This Breaking Free song, that's amazing. I'm never going to share it. That'd be weird, right? Like, we never get to enjoy that experience. We never get to enjoy that song, that anthem, Breaking Free. We never get to sing that song. And that song would be incomplete, right? Because songs are always meant to be shared. Songs are incomplete if they do not have an audience. They do not have any value if they're not shared with other people. And in the same way, our story is incomplete if it's not shared with other people. That we have a story that God has recorded, and it's meant to be shared. It's meant to be shared. So a verse that I go to a lot when thinking about this story that we have is Psalm 96, 1 through 3. And it's this: sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. So he repeats sing three times, meaning the author wants us to emphasize that we should declare what God has done in our life. He's saying sing, sing each day. Proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nation. Tell everyone about the amazing deeds he has done. And so what we're supposed to do in that last verse is saying, meaning every time we have an option, every time we have an opportunity, we're supposed to declare, here's what God has done in my life. Here's how he's made a difference in my life, and I'm supposed to share it with others. And so I want to give you guys, I want to give an opportunity for myself to share my brief story of how God changed my life, opened my eyes to the reality of who he was. As we close, I just want to share my three-part story really quick. And so it's easy. I'm going to use three parts to this. One, I'm going to talk about before I received Christ. Two, I'm going to talk about how I received Christ. And three, I'm going to talk about after I received Christ. Before I received Christ, how I received Christ, after I received Christ. That is how you set up your testimony. And so before I received Christ, guys, I grew up down the road, 20 minutes from here, and I was a tall, lanky, awkward kid. I think we have a picture of myself, actually. Guys, look, thank God for braces. That's all I can say. Look at those teeth. But guys, I grew up tall, lanky, awkward, but I grew up in an amazing Christian. You can throw that picture off. It's awkward. I don't even want it up there anymore. But that, what are you saying? Oh, there we go. I love that. Napoleon Dynamite. Good throwback. I love that. Good reference. I was Napoleon Dynamite. Honestly, that's how awkward I was. But Napoleon Dynamite was what I looked like, or what I sounded like, probably. But my life before Christ, guys, I knew the church. I grew up in an amazing home. My parents prioritized my faith. But I had a poor understanding of who God was. That to me, God was like Santa Claus, like he was this distant old guy that would give me what I wanted based on what I did. And so I thought that if I did enough good things, then God would give me favor. And then if I didn't do good things, then I would just feel shame and regret and I would walk away. And that led to a terrible relationship with God. That was my life before Christ. How I received Christ in seventh grade. So most of you guys are in seventh grade. When I first heard the gospel in a real and compelling way, then I remember I had a small group leader come up to me and share the gospel with me, share how the story of Jesus and why he had to be sent and why I needed to accept him and why I couldn't do it on my own. And that story, I knew, I understood it, but I didn't value it for what it was. I didn't need it until a few years later, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember for the first time praying to God because I needed him. And I realized from that moment that God was somebody that I could count on. And gratefully, he healed my mom. But I remember experiencing what a relationship with God looked like, that I had to go to him and I had to talk to him, and he wanted a relationship with me. And so from then, I've continued to struggle. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. I remember I grew up in a home before Christ where I was angry. I was selfish. I lacked self-control. I didn't know how to prioritize my emotions. And I had a lot of fear growing up. But after I received Christ, I had a solution to that pain, that I had hope, that I had people around me that encouraged me and how to walk with the Lord, that I knew that God didn't love me based on what I did. He loved me because of my position as his son, that I was an enemy of God, and now I was a friend of God because I believed. And that is my Christian story. And that's simple. I was blind, and now I see. And that is what your story can be. And you guys have to learn to rehearse that song, that God has given you a hit song to articulate and to share with other people. But you first have to know the song. You have to study the song. Look back and reflect on what God has done in your life and say, man, God has made a difference in my life, and here's how, and I want to share that with others. And so as we close, I want to have an opportunity. I'm going to invite Josh on the stage. He's going to share a song, or he's going to play a song with us. And I just want you, it's going to be real quick, but I just want you guys to take that reflection question that I asked you earlier. Is that, hey, is there a moment in my life where God got my attention? Like God woke me up to the reality of who he was. He embraced me with his truth, and he showed me that I was blind, that I didn't see who he really was, that I didn't see his grace and his love in my life. Maybe it was a moment at camp. Maybe it was a moment, a conversation with a parent. Maybe whatever it was, what is that moment? And I encourage you to think about that and use that time at small group this week to share that with a friend. So we're going to have time to reflect, and I'll be back up here in a little bit.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly to rest in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood in righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only to rest in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same
your story is unique, your story is important. So I encourage you guys to think back, even if your story is simple, it's powerful. And that you could say to a watching world, I was blind and now I see. If you do not have a story that you have to share, you feel like you've never made that decision to follow Christ, I encourage you, go talk to your small group leader. Ask him, how do I have a relationship with Jesus? What does that look like? And how can I go share that story with others? I'm going to pray real quick, guys, and then we're going to dismiss. Lord, thank you for giving us a story worth sharing. I pray everyone in this room would understand that it can be simple, but it's still powerful. We were blind. We were dead to our trespasses and sin. You made us alive in Christ. May that story give us joy to go share it with other people. May we know the story you've given us. May we share the story of your son. Lord, we love you. In the name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all. Have a great week of worship. See ya.